Good morning, everyone. It's great to see all of you. Thank you for being here. As John mentioned, Travis is out, so you're putting up with me today again. So, but no, we wish him a safe trip back, and I am thankful for the opportunity to take the time to study beforehand and come and speak to you this morning. So I hesitate to sort of commit to this beforehand, but I think this morning's lesson is going to be pretty short, okay? But I know it's going to be simple. Okay, the message is not complicated. It's a simple message, but just because it's simple doesn't mean that you don't have to really think about it. Okay, so we're going to be asking some questions of ourselves this morning. We're going to be digging deep and really having some self-evaluation, a self-assessment, if you will. Okay. And we're going to get to a really simple question later that you're going to have to really look deep to answer. So be thinking as we lead up to that question and kind of start thinking, oh, I can see what's coming. I know what that question's going to be. Okay? And if you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to start off this morning. And we're going to start down and, just real quickly, what's going on here in chapter 9? Okay, about halfway through, basically Jesus is going throughout these cities. He's preaching and he's teaching and he's interacting with all the people, right, that come up to him and the people that he deals with. And in this chapter specifically, we see a lot of people who are going through some pretty difficult situations. Verse 18, a family whose daughter has died. Verse 20, a woman suffering a hemorrhage. Verse 27, two blind men. Verse 32, a demon-possessed man. And Jesus heals these people and probably many others as well. And you kind of think, well, what's Jesus thinking after he gets done with all this? What's he thinking after he gets done interacting with all these people? Well, we know what he was thinking down in verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. It says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, for they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus makes it clear here that people are sheep, okay? It's a pretty good analogy there. People are like sheep, and they are going to either have a shepherd or they are not going to have a shepherd. Like it or not, that is the situation that we are going to find ourselves in. And as Jesus says here, if those sheep, if we don't have a shepherd, our life is going to be difficult. We will be distressed and dispirited. And what do we mean by that, distressed? Some adjectives here, definitions. Extreme anxiety, sorrow, pain. What do we mean by dispirited? Having lost enthusiasm and hope, disheartened. We're talking about someone who has endured a lot, okay? They've gone through many trials, and as a result, they're tired, they're worn out, they're ready to give up, they're lost, they feel like fainting. Maybe that's what some of your versions say, that word faint is used a lot of times with that word. But this same word is used elsewhere in the Bible as well, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but that's the Greek word. Where else is it used? Let's look in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 14. It says, the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. You kind of picture that in your mind, people traveling for such a long distance, and they're just flat out tired. They're weary. What about in Hebrews 12, 3? For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That passage talks about all the trials that you go through in your life. Thinking about all the trials that Jesus went through as our inspiration for not growing weary, losing heart. That same word there that we see in Matthew chapter 9 in verse 36. See, if a sheep doesn't have a shepherd, that sheep is going to be scattered. It will be weary, it will faint, it will be hopeless. And why? Why is that? Well, think about it if you're a sheep, right? If you don't have anyone to look after you, what are you concerned about? You're concerned about what you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, where you're going to sleep, worried about the dangers out there that may be lurking that you can't even see that a shepherd would normally watch out for. This results in a lack of confidence in the future because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't have any confidence in the future. You don't have anybody looking out for you. So what does that cause? What does a lack of confidence in the future cause? Well, it causes doubt. It causes stress. It causes anxiety. Things are going to make our life difficult. Things are going to cause us to be distressed. Now, have you ever felt that way? When we think about it in the terms of a sheep, but let's think of that personally. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had a lack of confidence in the future? How does that make you feel? Do you feel that way this morning, spiritually? Do you feel lost? Do you feel like fainting spiritually? Well, if so, then you need to ask yourself, whose voice am I hearing? Whose voice am I hearing? Is it the voice of the shepherd? Or is it something else? Because rest assured, there are many voices in this world that we can follow. What do we mean by voices, really, when we say what voice are you hearing? We're talking about anything that's going to pull you away from God. Anything that's going to take your attention away from God. If that thing is getting your attention, or if that person is getting your attention over God, then that's the voice you're hearing, isn't it? It's getting your attention that you no longer hear the voice of the shepherd. Well, what might that voice be? What are some examples of that? Maybe it's doubt that just sort of gnaws at you. Maybe it's anxiety. Many people suffer from being anxious, from stress. Maybe it's temptation. Maybe it's a job, a friend, a hobby, selfishness, jealousy, greed, health problems, too much focus on your secular life, life in general, all the things and activities that go with it. Maybe it's wanting to fit in with the world. The list goes on and on, doesn't it? And each of those things can be understandable, right? You know, I think in Sid's prayer, he mentioned people who go through these health problems. I mean, when I think about when I am really, really stressed, it seems like it's a health problem that causes that. That just, your mind just sort of takes you places and you suffer pain for one reason or another. And it's like it's all you can think about. School's stressful. Work is stressful. All these things. If you have little kids at home, that's stressful. Each stage of life, right, is going to have its unique stresses, isn't it? And all these other things we talk about that were in that list are certainly understandable, but is it to the point that it's taking you away from God? Has that really become the voice that you're hearing? Because when you hear that voice to the extent that you don't hear the shepherd anymore, you're following that voice. You're acknowledging that that's where you think the authority rests, the authority for your life resides. Your obedience to that voice is you saying, I think this voice holds enough weight to dictate how I will live my life. And so it really becomes your identity, doesn't it? If you have given your life to the voice of something or someone other than Jesus, well, then you better understand what it is that they can offer you. And just to be clear, what they can offer you is this: fleeting pleasure at best, right? That's the most that you can hope for from a voice other than Jesus. Fleeting pleasure at best. But at the end of the day, all that remains is truly hopelessness. It's that hopelessness that gnaws at you, doesn't it? It causes anxiety. It causes fear, weariness. Hopelessness because you don't have confidence in the future. And it can kind of destroy your faith. It can damage your faith. We see an example of this over in the book of Jude. And it's Jude beginning in verse 8. And I know that text is small up there, so it might be easier for you to read it from your Bible. But beginning in Jude chapter 8, we see an example of people who have turned to voices other than the voice of Jesus. Beginning in verse 8, "Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds with water, carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Let me ask you, do the men that Jude is describing here seem like they are living fulfilling and hopeful lives? No, absolutely not. You know what it says down in verse 13? It says they're like wandering stars. I want you to picture that for a second. Why did he phrase it that way? Wandering stars. Well, think about how big the universe is. Think about that. Imagine wandering around in that universe by yourself, trying to find your way. I mean, I really don't even think we can comprehend that, can we? Wouldn't that be a scary feeling? That feeling of being lost? Have you ever been lost? I can remember and will always remember a time that I was lost. I was probably eight, let's say something around eight or nine. And we're in Houston at the rodeo, and back when it was in the dome, and we're leaving. And if you remember, when you'd leave the Astrodome, they'd have those big twirly things. You'd walk all the way down, and then the whole crowd gets down, and you walk out into the parking lot, right? Well, we were working our way down, and at the rodeo, there's a ton of people there, and so I'm just kind of walking with my family, only to realize that I'm not walking with my family anymore. And I remember turning and kind of looking and recognizing nobody but just masses of strangers walking. And that immediate just, I guess it's like your heart drops, right? Also, you just sort of get your knees get weak. That feeling of being lost. If you've ever been lost outside in the woods or whatever, that it's like, all of a sudden it hits you, I'm lost. And it's a very eerie feeling, isn't it? It's like that panic just takes over. Why? Because I don't have any confidence in the future anymore. I don't know if I'm getting out of this. And in that moment, you kind of think you're not, right? When we follow the voices of this world, our hearts are lost. We might as well be wandering around the universe. And as a result, we grow weary, we faint, we lose heart, we do not have peace. And it shows in our life, doesn't it? It shows in our attitude, it shows in our interactions with others. So, the question, which I'm sure you've known is coming, look inside, look in your heart, think about it, be honest with yourself. Are you at peace? Or are you distressed? Are you at peace, or do you feel lost? Do you have confidence in the future? And I don't mean just temporary stress or problems that everyone goes through, right? I'm talking about really deep down inside. Really deep down inside, at your core, at your foundation. If you are distress way down deep, well, then you need to ask yourself, whose voice am I listening to? If you're listening to a voice other than Jesus, that voice is not going to offer you peace. But Jesus does. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." When we hear the voice of Jesus, we follow him. He becomes the center of our life. We focus on his words, on his voice. Everything we do really revolves around him. And yes, we still have our lives in this world, absolutely. But Jesus affects every part of that life, doesn't it? In our interactions with others and how we treat people, how we just go about this life. And we trust him. When we follow him, we trust him. Why do we trust him? Because he gives us eternal life. There's that confidence in the future. We have eternal life with him. We are at peace because of that confidence. And if we're at peace, we're not weary. We're not distressed. We're not dispirited. We are at peace. This slide that I've been using as the background, it's a sunset down in Big Bend, okay? And if you're like me and Sid, I imagine, you love that part of Texas. It's one of my favorite places, and I've been lucky enough to spend some time down in that region through hunting and other things, and one time we were down there, and a friend and I went and hiked up this mountain in the Sierra Viejas back when it was, before the sun came up. We're supposed to be looking for mule deer, well, and we find ourselves just sitting here as the sun's coming up, and I'd snap this photo, and to some people it's just kind of just desert, right? And they're like, I don't get it. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. But I love it. I love that region. And when I'm sitting here looking across, you can see those are the Davis Mountains in the background. You can go on and on. It's just like when I think of peace, being at peace, I think of sitting up there and just looking out at that. Many, many places in this world, and depending on what your spot is, well, that's my spot, okay? When I think of tranquility, I think of that. But even as beautiful and peaceful as this setting is to me, it is absolutely nothing compared to the heavenly peace that God can provide, that Jesus can provide as your shepherd. Because when it's all said and done, this isn't going to offer me anything. This isn't going to offer me any confidence in eternal life in the future. But Jesus does. Jesus offers that eternal life. But we need to be his sheep, and his sheep follow him. There's something much greater that Jesus can offer that this world cannot. This is that fleeting pleasure that we talked about, isn't it? This is going to go away. There's not going to be anything left. But Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is our source for peace. Don't you want that rest that he's talking about here? Don't you want that peace that he can offer? If so, then hear his voice and follow him. So if you're not a Christian this morning, we want to invite you to change that. We want to invite you to hear the voice of Jesus. Put your faith in him. Confess him as the Son of God. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Being raised to walk as a new person dedicated to following your new shepherd. If you've wandered away from the shepherd, you're feeling distressed, you're not at peace because you don't have that relationship with the shepherd, you're not hearing his voice, you're not following him, you can change that this morning as well. And we're ready to pray for you and encourage you if that's what you need to do this morning, to repent of your sins and to rededicate your faith. If there is anything that we can do for you this morning, we want to invite you to come forward while we stand and sing to encourage you.